Blog Talk Radio.
I came to say goodbye.
But why, Boris? Why?
I've made up my mind. I'm going away.
Then I shall be alone.
That journey into the desert you've spoken of, you will take it alone.
What else can I do?
Once you said to me that peace and happiness might be found there, you gave me hope. And now... now we have to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello and welcome to Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber with Neutron Bomb and Captain B2. Pour it out thick like honey, bittersweet like molasses, seeking your proliferous journey to proffer to the empathetic masses, calling on cathartic release, expel your demons, if but for a moment increase, then cease them, quell their influence, let them not commit treason. Now, this week's focus is anti-social media and does it equal social decay? And it's from our contest on the Late Night Poets Forum on allpoetry.com. Whilst it is not a prerequisite to join as a member, we do encourage you to do so so you can follow us along on the shows. And how are you doing tonight, Captain?
Oh, doing all right so far, as the fellow said when he fell out the window. Ever heard that one?
You're an optimist, Felton.
An optimist, Felton stories, an Eddie Twindle bar. He shouted to the folks inside, doing all right so far.
Are you able to turn your volume up a little bit, Captain?
How's that? Any better?
Oh, that's better already. That's better. Yeah.
Turn the gain down a little bit.
Oh, man. What a day. I got my hair cut at home and colored for the first time in about 6 or 7 weeks, which is nice to be able to do now that we're out of lockdown. And I'm not looking like the wild woman from Borneo this time around, so that's always a bonus.
I think I prefer that to the look I get. I'm a blonde, so I end up with my hair in my face. I look like a Shetland pony.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, do you want to give a little rundown of the contest that you put together for the social media?
Well, that was your idea, and apparently it was quite a hit. So I went out and did some research on social media and found out there was quite a wealth of comments and quotes out there as to the adverse effects of social media on relationships and mental health, self-image. It impacts on teenagers. It was pretty amazing. So I harvested, I think, the best of what I could find and assembled it, and there we are.
Yeah, it started off as a slow burner, and I contacted a few people to generate some entries, and then it took off, which was great. So we've actually got, I think, 22 poems today, which is unusual to have that many. So we probably won't get through all of them, but we will anticipate playing or reading, rather, within the coming weeks. We will try and get through everyone tonight, but I'd say if it's the Captain and Neutron show, that we may just get through 22 poems. So we'll see whether we are graced with the presence of any callers a bit later, but for now it's just the two of us, and what a good two.
Yeah.
And
slow burners, the Santa. The Santa spinoff one seemed to be a slow burner.
Yeah, I think they always are, the Christmas episodes. At least that's my experience to date. But I'd say if we open it up to pre-writes eventually that it will fill up. So
we do
appreciate new writes, of course. But we'll take what we can get. And with that, I'll get the first poem up. And would you like to give this one a read, Captain?
Certainly. We have Social Media by Kenneth D. Lankford. Where is that? There it is. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, you would ask me to read this one. I went to this fellow's page and looked at some of his work. He's an opinionated rascal. Okay, so let's give this a read. Social media. Yes, you should read some of this stuff. Oh, yeah. Social freedom in our society at last. Everyone is talking everywhere real fast. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you see. It's not up to you to decide just what you want to believe. The man is here to help you fact-checking very fast. They are there to protect you from your ignorance at last. This is why they serve the public as they do. They are smart enough to decipher information for you. Ignorant is the man who thinks for himself, makes his own decisions, whether right or left. Intelligence agencies. We know how they got the name. I can tell them, I can call them up daily. Tell me what to think, just what to say. Every single platform, every single site, admittedly monitored, fighting terrorism for all that's right. The sleeper cells awakening to a brand new day. If you want to socialize, let us recognize your face. Facebook recognition, log in if you will. On your smart devices, intelligence, they kill. End poem.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great read. And thank you, Keith, for the poem. It was quite a thought-provoking write. Now, I haven't checked out Keith's page. Oh, is it? Yeah, it's Keith?
Yes,
Keith's
yeah,
page.
I looked because he's a new contributor.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So, look, it was quite balanced with the mention of left or right. It could possibly border on the conspiracy theory side of things, but I think he's walked the tightrope quite well. We do live in a world of technology advancement that, whilst may start with altruistic intentions, may be indeed used for nefarious means of control. And whilst I do believe that I would find it difficult to survive without my smartphone given the last couple of weeks, I also believe this in and of itself is a form of conditioning. So quite a clever piece. What were your thoughts, Captain?
I noticed also that he's got a strong opinion, but he seems to be taking a level playing field on this, not really swinging one way or the other, but he does definitely not have a favorable opinion of intelligence agencies monitoring mobile wireless message traffic, which they can do quite easily. I mean, it used to be once upon a time when the phone system was analog, to get a tap on a cell phone required a court order and substantiation. And my God, it was a draconian process because you had all the physical switching that they had to track down. And if you've ever seen any of these old detective movies where they're trying to trace a call, it really was quite labor intensive. Now it's just a matter of finding out where the electrons started. And it's actually almost frighteningly fast. If you're out there on the grid, there you can run, but you can't hide. So he does make some interesting things. Ignorant is the man who thinks for himself, makes his own decisions. Intelligence agencies, we know how they got the name. Yeah, he's got some interesting rights out on his page. We've got titles like Operation Chaos. American Slaughter, America Slaughtered, Explosive and Frequency Warfare. I think I have to be in the right mood to read him. But he's a new contributor. I think he's a new contributor, so I was glad to see someone new throwing some work at us. And I think it was provoked by your idea for social media, which I was really impressed with that idea when I started digging. I was astonished at the amount of data there was out there.
Yeah, well, there was this interesting, just off the back of Keith's author notes, there was an interesting case where police were actually in Australia trying to use the contact tracing information to pin someone to a location to implicate them in a crime. And there was a big hoorah about it because they want to separate the health initiatives from the police information tracking so that people will actually use them, so that in the event of super spreader events, they can contact the right people. So I thought that was really, really interesting that that the police would go to those lengths. But it's like anything. If the information is there, it can be used. So even internationally, I think if you sign up to one of those genealogy websites, they can actually provide your DNA to the police in the event that they're requested. So watch out,
you know,
people. Don't commit major crimes and then give your DNA away for free.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. It's astonishing with the digital technologies. I was reading something just the other day that the Fitbit data has been used by U.S. police investigating a murder. And they were able, from the woman's Fitbit, the victim's Fitbit, to find out exactly when her heart rate stopped, because she was interfaced with her computer. And there was also mobile cameras or closed-circuit TV in her neighborhood. And they put her ex-boyfriend or ex-husband or something, his vehicle, in the vicinity at the time of the crime. So they were able to gather all that data just from the Fitbit and closed-circuit television.
There you go. In that instance, I think a very good find. And someone put in prison for the murder of someone off of the back of data.
Yeah, it's yeah. As you said, if the data is out there, they'll find a way to harvest it.
And with that, we'll move on to the next poem. I'll give this one a read. And it's by Beth Evans. Bit of a change in pace. Why the fuss? During COVID-19, there's been some fuss. Cries of, now they are separating us. I hope to goodness I may be excused, because I can't help it if I am amused. How much interaction is there these days for those in a technological daze? Social contact has moved onto Facebook, or whatever chat site seems worth a look. One need not care for so-called separation. The media will make reparation. I don't want to put my life on parade. I'd not go on Facebook if I were paid. I have little need for social contact. Loners like me can be lucky, in fact. End poem. What do you think, Captain?
I like this. A very tongue-in-cheek, wry humor. But there's quite a bit of truth there. I closed my Facebook account when they started having difficulties with their security. And the more I think about it, the more I think, there's no real need for me to go out there. And I've been closing things like LinkedIn and Facebook, and I have Pinterest to a limited degree, but that's not there's not too much personal information out on that. I'm very cautious about what I put on the on the grid. So it says, one need not care for so-called separation. The media can make reparation. I'd not go on Facebook if I was paid. Like that. Loners like me can be lucky. In fact, I agree. There's an advantage to not putting too much information out there. I was reading something yesterday. Apparently now that it's a big deal. You go over to Starbucks, you get a drink, and you put it out on Instagram. Really? Why? You know? I don't see it. I don't get the. Really don't. Like, so you had coffee. Congratulations. Mazel tov. You know, I don't know. It doesn't
yeah.
make any sense.
Oh, man, I thought it was another thought-provoking right. And just I'll add, I got locked out of my Facebook account. I wasn't really an active user, but because my name was different to my passport, they've shut the whole thing down. So in classic form, I've decided that Facebook can go suck my beep. And, you know, I thought, in all seriousness, like, it was the same date of birth. It was the same surname and a different first name, but they wouldn't let me in. So I've completely locked out myself by trying too many times logging in. So there you go. Technology did me a favor.
I call that. I have a name for that. I call that fate making a decision for you that you should have made on your own.
That's it. That's exactly it. Yes, indeed. And I think we are attached to our smartphones and most a little too closely attached to Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and the list goes on. But how much social interaction is involved in getting wrapped up in the best of showreel that is social media? And there is something to be said for living humbly as a loner or otherwise. And not broadcasting one's life to social media, but it's a personal choice. And as I mentioned, one which I've been forced not to entertain. So very well done. And
I read something earlier today that I thought was quite interesting. The Apple operating system is the newest incarnation of that. Or iteration is 15.2, and I just uploaded it today to both my devices. But the reason I found it interesting is because I read an article in the Wall Street Journal that there is now an attribute or a function on the new operating system that allows you to go in and specify an emergency contact or access. To be able to access your phone information should you die or when you die.
Wow.
And that's you know, that's too late in coming. I mean, there's constantly when my late partner, his aunt passed away and her kids couldn't get her Facebook account closed. And Tony passed, I used his Facebook account to notify all of his friends of his death. But once that was on, it's still out there. It's out there as you know, free electrons. But haven't closed it because they didn't provide any means for that. So this new option on the operating system allows someone to go into your phone, someone you designate, and it allows them to retrieve and save pictures, data on your phone, because the one person who was writing the article, apparently they did a lot of research and did a lot of photographs because they were a journalist, and they postulated if something happened to them, conceivably all of their work could be lost. So, especially if you're not religious, I use that word loosely, vigilant about backing up data.
Yeah, well, even if you are, you still need that phone to be able to access everything. So that's a really good feature.
I wanted to put that out there for, and I actually sent that article to a couple of my friends to give them a heads up on that because I thought it was it's a very important new feature on their new operating system.
So, yeah, yeah.
All right. Now,
all right, you're up next. Wait. If you want to give a combination with Paul Marie.
Combination of poetry and public service announcements. Okay. We have Inside Your Head. Gronwy? Okay, I guess that's how people pronounce. Inside Your Head. Don't let it see the private space inside your head, the hydra that claims to know it all. Facebook's image of just pretend. Let Twitter be a funny place. Tell it lies with grains of truth on Instagram's tactic. Played in the sound you made at being found naked on your tube, on YouTube. Confuse them about who you are. Acting the part of know-it-all to keep you safe in the private space inside your head. That is the id of you. Just remember, you're not a binary number hologram. End poem.
Great read, Captain, and thanks. I think it's Gronwy. That's how I say it anyway. I'm not sure if I'm right or not. But I think it was interesting that they referenced the id of you as a self-protection mechanism, almost playing Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy with social media websites. And for those that are listening, the id is the impulsive and unconscious part of our psyche, which responds directly and immediately to basic urges, needs, and desires. So the personality of a newborn child is all id, and only later does it develop an ego and a superego. And the fact that Gronwy's interwoven social media platforms into the poem was a nice touch. And the message is quite important. What you put out there, you need to be aware. There are those with nefarious intentions, and there's something in that for all of us, especially me. So keep on it. And what do you think, Captain?
I liked it. It goes through some very prominent social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I profess to not know. I don't have a Twitter account. I wouldn't know how to use it if I had to. I did a little dance through Instagram and found it confusing. So I don't put much social media out there, so I agree with what to confuse them about who you are, acting the part of know-it-all to keep you safe in the private space. It's astonishing what they can ascertain about you and your life and your habits just by what you put out on Facebook. So I agree.
Well, it's even those simple game-like posts that ask you to post your first letter of your, say, surname, for example, and the first three letters of your maiden name. Like, all of that is potentially opens you up to scammers, from what I understand.
Yeah.
You just have to be really careful. Yeah.
I'm very cautious of any kind of quizzes out there or anything that asks me. And unfortunately, you make a purchase online, and the next thing you know, you're getting ads. And one of the things I've found that's interesting is doing research for these contests, doing research on the surrealist artists or some of these other things, the systems out there will track, especially Google, will track what subjects you are exploring. And the next thing you know, you've got articles about surrealist painters popping up on your phone. In my case, I get surrealist painters soup recipes, and articles about who's in the cast of Dune 2.
Nice one. That's hilarious.
My circuitous comment is basically whatever you research on Google, they track it, and the next thing you know, you've got material focused in those areas.
Yeah. I recently downloaded a new search engine called, I think it's DuckDuckGo, and it actually tells you how many times they've blocked Google from tracking you. And in one day of having it installed, they blocked nearly 70 tracking attempts. Isn't that crazy?
I started doing research into Google when I was still working for the federal government because they wanted metrics on who was searching some of the federal websites on hits for preparedness, and you can do searches on Google and you come up with all kinds of data because they track everything.
Yeah.
This is all computerized now. It makes it ridiculously easy.
Yeah, it does indeed. Now I'm going to move on to the next poem. I'm going to get you to give it a read, the one by Paul Thomas One.
Okay. Bring this up here. Paul Thomas One. Okay, we have, oops, that's the other one. Yeah, open that. Oh, interesting picture. All right. Dominion. I would like to speak to my maternal grandmother, deceased since 1972. Her sage and untimely rhetoric has influenced my behavior a hard-fought 74 years. The why for desired discussion has changed as time passed. First fear, then resentment, now a social chat between elders. Grandmother, you were never by me popular, and I am getting closer to our conversation. In the meantime, please remove your influence from my head. And that's based on prompt in 18, influence is not popularity, which I thought was very apt. End poem.
I think it was quite a forthright poem, and it touched on intergenerational influence, and I really enjoyed Paul's take on the prompt. And it kind of reminds me of the idea that we become our mothers or fathers as we grow up, but you tell that to your teenage self, and the idea is simply abhorrent at the time. And the author note was enlightening and a little tongue-in-cheek, I think. I'll just give it a read. A stiff-backed old woman who, when not getting her way, would be seen carrying a suitcase away from the house. And for me, on a personal note, that was me as a teenager. Every time I didn't get my way, I'd be out of the house with my suitcase packed. And luckily, I've grown less rigid in my thinking as I've aged. The last stanza really captured me, though. Grandmother, you were never by me popular, and I'm getting closer to our conversation. In the meantime, please remove your influence from my head. Good luck with that, Paul. What do you think, Captain?
I love that last stanza. It indicates how as he's growing older and closer to his grandmother's age that he remembered when he was younger, that the more he is sympathetic to what she was experiencing and understanding more of where her thought process is coming from. I find myself in this unfortunate situation of doing this also. My when I was younger, my mom would, I thought she was walking rather slowly. And I was like, Mom, come on, come on. You know, and now I find myself walking at the same pace thinking, damn, I should have been more patient. especially since having COVID, I've slowed down remarkably. Especially I was telling a friend earlier today that we were talking about traveling, and I was reminded that when I had COVID, someone asked me how it felt, and I said it was like trying to walk at altitude. And I don't know what level of altitude you've experienced, but I've been to the Jungfrau Juk, which is about 12 or 13,000 mm-hmm. feet. And Austria, yeah. And every step you take, you are sucking wind, and that's what I felt like. And so I can understand now. You know, you find yourself in the same position of not being able to read things, of having your hands hurt when you wake up in the morning, the glide has become a shuffle. And you find yourself being more sympathetic to what you found yourself intolerant of when you were younger. So I can see that in his piece, and I think it's very clever, but it's also very prophetic, because I think his little avatar up there, the caption says 70 can only mean one thing. And it is a very curmudgeonly looking little character right below that caption. So I think he's walking the walk.
That's
I like
it.
This piece.
It's very well done. It's simple. It's accessible, and I think a lot of people will relate to it. And with that, we'll move on to the next one. By Pink Fairy 5. I actually approached her about this poem. I thought it was a perfect fit for our show. So I'll give it a read. He was confident. He was cloaked being so far from home. He was sure of only one thing. No one knew him here. He could recreate and reinvent himself. This was a face they did not recognize. No one would see his hair and think, Murphy boy, from over the hill. He was confident he could be, say and do outrageous things without consequence. Of course, he had forgotten about social media and how far it goes. His mother, wife and boss were all three waiting up for him after his return flight. Apparently a video of his sheer honesty had made it from Austria to the USA in incredible time. His mother was irate. His wife was furious, and he lost his job. Honesty and anonymity apparently no longer exist. End poem. And what do you think, Captain?
Oops. it's a very very insightful piece, because it does indeed. You can do things in one part of the world. Enable travel with lightning speed. I was always surprised when my partner and I would travel abroad to go skiing in Europe, and we were with a group of people. We would post photographs on Facebook, and the speed with which people would respond to them, I was astonished. It tells me not only is the transmission of this much information instantaneous, but that there are people out there that don't have lives. They just read Facebook all the time.
Oh, gosh. I must admit, when I read the prompt, man is least himself when he talks in his own person. Give him a mask and he will tell you the truth. And that was by Oscar Wilde. And I was getting eyes wide shut vibes from the prompt. And this tale, be it reality or just that, a cautionary tale, I'm sure it has been replicated many times over in real life. And the thing is, everyone has a camera phone these days, so it's even worse than your skiing days, in that it takes less than a minute to destroy a person's life, for better or for worse. And the cultural norm at the moment is the woke. There is no due course. People act swiftly. Organizations act swiftly to pander to the woke. And without knowing what his honesty entailed, well, I personally can make no judgment as to whether the reaction was appropriate. But the consequences, and I quote, his mother was irate, his wife was furious, and he lost his job. Honesty and anonymity apparently no longer exist. Indeed, ain't that the truth?
Indeed, that is the case. I'm reminded of... some time ago, I was reminded of one of the Terminator movies, and I can't remember, I can't recall which one, but Dahl plays the grown Sarah's son, grown up, and he voices over in the beginning, and he basically talks about living off the grid, because he doesn't have any credit cards, he doesn't have a home, he doesn't have a phone number, he doesn't have a social security number. It's the only way he can stay out of the system. And if you think about it, there are so many tendrils that we have into the system. It's astonishing. I mean, I used to, and I'm horrified when I think about it now, but once upon a time when I was in the military, they used to require you, in order to write a check at the PX, you had to put your social security number on it, because your social security number was also your service number. Well, they stopped that, and I had checks printed with my social security number on them. I think about it now, and I'm horrified. But back then, there was no internet, there was no media, there was no way of investigating this kind of, or harvesting kind of open information. But had to go back to service because they can no longer use someone's social security number for that. It was a convenient thing that they used to use for driver's licenses and check cashing, and no longer. I mean, you get into a system, and if you've got someone who knows their way around, they can just they can hose you up big time. Like some of these movies that you see, where someone decides they're going to sabotage someone's personal life, and they get in there and they just they manipulate data, and it's. It's to the point now where someone can hack into your car because they're computerized.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's crazy, isn't it?
I'm gonna get a bite.
We're starting to sound like conspiracy theorists ourselves at the moment.
it is
possible.
It is. I'm just citing possibilities. The opportunities for someone who is very facile in the system to do these things. So one can only wonder what kind of egregious offense was committed here to get it.
They got sideswiped to the grocery car park.
Never can tell. So what have we got? Great piece, by the way, Pink Fairy. Well done.
So we've got a poem by Matt Jameson next. And, Captain, if you could give that a read, it would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. Closing down. Here we go. The Cluck Clucks by Matt Jameson. The Cluck Clucks are on their Facebook. Richard's uploaded his tea. It's dragged in several comments and likes as it looks amazingly spaghetti. The Kluk Kluks need their narc fix. Absolutely any pick will do. Self-gratification and attention needs with likes from flying monkeys from the zoo. The Kluk Kluks are on their thread now, looking for status updates, a chance to put themselves in the spotlight while feigning to be mates. The Kluk Kluks have found their circus. It isn't life just grand. Free fuss and the fragile ego stroked if you know how to manipulate your band. And the circus goes on forever for the self-indulgent who need it most. The daily, sickly, nauseous desire to brag, pretend, and boast. End poem.
Excellent recap, then, and thank you, Matt, for the poem.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the repetition of the Kluk Kluks. I thought it was quite clever. It almost alluded to click, click, or the Kluk Kluks, and also just the chickens, you know, or the wolf and the lamb, you know. I was getting those kind of vibes. So I think his observational tone in this piece worked really well. There are two groups on social media, the influencers and the followers, and the influencers have the potential to do great good or great amounts of bad. And I think at the moment, the cryptocurrency markets is just one example of that. And I tend to think more of the latter, because as you put it, Matt, and the circus goes on forever for the self-indulgent who need it most, that daily, sickly, nauseous desire to brag, pretend, and boast. And when I was doing my pre-commenting, I asked him, who is running this circus anyway? And I think that is the real question. Great pose. And what do you think, Captain?
Oh, I enjoyed this. The Kluk Kluks reminded me of one of the songs from the Music Man, Meredith Wilson's musical, The Music Man, because the ladies in the town gather together and they like to gossip about the librarian who was single. And they suspect her of unsavory behavior, and that's the Kluk Kluks. I don't know if there's a term in Australia, but if a bunch of women get together over coffee and gossip, that's called a hen party. And that's what this reminded me of, is the Kluk Kluks. The hen party in the film, as they're all talking about the suspicious behavior of this woman they don't like, and they don't understand it. And what this made me think of also was how easily something that you hear or see or hear about can be taken out of context. And if you take something out of context, isolate it and put it up before an audience, how easily it can be misinterpreted. But you can also take something out of context and looking for status updates, a chance to put themselves in the spotlight. So you can take something you've done, take it out of context, and use it for a personal aggrandizement. So I liked this this take on it, because it is in fact the ability to go out there and stroke your own ego or feed your own ego. And it's the one thing that I'm struck by is before social media, everyone had an opinion, but it didn't have the opportunity to go global the way it does now. Mm-hmm. And it seems now that the people who have opinions, who have had them for years, now have the opportunity to get on threads and voice their opinions. And it's astonishing to me that there are people out there that will listen to total strangers' opinions of a situation of which they know nothing.
Yeah, Yeah, we have a saying in Australia, and it's probably over in the US too. Opinions are like arseholes. Everyone has one.
Oh, yes. It must be a universal thing. But it is very true. Anatomically and otherwise.
And on that note, I think we should move on to the next poem. And whose turn is it to read? Is it my turn?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Awesome. All right, I'll give this one a read. So this is by Ben Hart, and it's called The Social State. Sex is just a name away. Synthesized and sanitizer sterilized. Drink your heroic hearts apart. Drugged in devilish disguise. Clicks, clicks, clicks. News isn't enough for me. It doesn't really suit my new truth. But what's another throat to the cacophony? Feared for our unity in anonymity. Me and my proclivities, no conditioning. They say there is no collective in the chaos. The voices in our heads can't keep their distance. Our self-hatred, my enemies are all so friendly. Eloquent is adequate. Imagination is intimate. God can keep his mysticism. We'll cling to our cynicism. Sell my symptoms to the sickness. Sell my sadness for a stage state. Notification addicts, queen of hearts, but it's never love. Never worth a second thought. We'd rather like than look closer at these millions of bodies arrested behind the glass. Who think they can find an identity suckling on syringes. Everyone is trying to go viral, but doesn't want to wear a mask over another. So fed up with forever. But what do I know? I'm just building a legacy. I don't need my 7 seconds of shameless fame. No, I'm quite content playing the quiet game. Cancel this culture of ceaseless, sensitive censorship. Save some of this outrage for the Gaza Strip. Blessed is the boneless, misty-eyed Monday morning Moses. Proposes hopeless, dreamy doses as they send their cold condolence and poem. Wow.
Great read. Yeah.
That was a tongue twister, that one was.
The word
play. And what were your thoughts, Captain?
I like the word play in this. Very skilled. He's got some great alliteration in here, some great word play. I'm looking for, sex is just another, is a name away, synthesized and sanitized, sterilized, and drugged and devilish disguise. Great alliteration and feared for our unity. In anonymity, me and my proclivities, no conditioning. They say there is no collective in the chaos. The voices in our heads can't keep their distance. There's some great metaphors in here. Eloquent is adequate. Imagination is intimate. God can keep his mysticism. We'll cling to our cynicism. That's a great line. This is a very nimble piece of writing. I like the message. I like the wordplay. It's a very, very a skillful piece of writing. What did you think?
I thought, firstly, it was quite thought-provoking and very densely worded. So there's a lot going on in this write, and it read like a satirical stream of consciousness. Now, cancel culture is at play. Some of it is warranted. Some of it is not. But the problem is that I find, at least from my time on Facebook, is discrimination is cloaked as freedom of speech far too often. And it unmasks hypocrisies that are often overlooked on social media. I think my favorite part was, never worth a second thought, we'd rather like than look closer at these millions of bodies arrested behind the glass. Who think they can find an identity suckling on syringes. Everyone is trying to go viral, but doesn't want to wear a mask over another. I was intrigued by this piece, and in some parts, this will stay with me. And some might argue that he could show, not tell more, but I really liked where he took the piece, and nicely penned.
The line that you just cited, everyone is trying to go viral, doesn't want to wear a mask over another. That's clever. That is very clever. Because speaks to the alternate ego that we have, the mask we have over our own identity, and wearing the protection mask over that mask. That's I liked when I read that, or I heard you read that, I thought, now that is a clever piece of thinking right there. But you're right.
Yeah,
but
I totally agree.
Cancel this culture. Isn't there a term called cancel culture now?
There is indeed. Cancel culture is effectively, so on an extreme end, you would put the Me Too movement could potentially be considered cancel culture, not in the movement itself, but in the consequences for the individuals that were pinged. So, for example, I started watching a documentary for the life of me. I can't remember his name. He was a very rich individual. He killed himself before he got put up on charges for child grooming and child molestation. And partner is currently going through the courts now. But there's due course there. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I recall the story. I don't track those things very, very carefully because I find that there's so much grimy news and it's like someone does something sensational like that, and then there's a feeding frenzy. And I refuse to engage in that. I have a personal philosophy that someone told me is Chinese, and I believe them. My personal philosophy is when they give you lined paper, right in the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the problem with cancel culture, is that there's no due course, and that people's lives can be ruined on a dime before there's even an ounce of credible information given to the court system to do something about it. And, that part of it I'm not too happy about. If in due course you get pinged on doing something, well then, you do your time, you do the crime, you do the time. But that's not how cancel culture works.
Yeah, it's,
so
it's,
I think
I believe
Chinese proverb was well done.
I believe they used to call that being tried in the court of public opinion. And
that's exactly
and people and I used to get into these debates with people. They say they will condemn someone and say, hey, wait a minute, due course of law, everyone is entitled to a speedy trial and innocent mm-hmm. until proven guilty. And that sometimes with a mob mentality to fall by the wayside. And maybe that's where we take our next contest is mob mentality and what you will see mobs
that would
doing
be interesting.
That people as individuals would never dream of doing, yet when they fall into a mob, like look what happened to our Capitol the 6th of January this year. That's the first time in our history that our Capitol building has been overrun and vandalized and pillaged, looted. I was watching that on the news. I was horrified. I was horrified at the wholesale anarchy of it. And one of the statements they were making was there used to be a feeling of all the legislators that there were certain places in Washington that were sacrosanct, that they felt safe. So, well, they can no longer say that.
Yes.
So,
you know what? I'll just a quick segue. I was watching this documentary about the anthrax attacks in the Capitol a long time ago, and I think realistically that was the last time that kind of pandemonium existed, where that sense of fear was prevalent for anyone who served for the Capitol and for the newspapers.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, would you believe that no one was ever actually committed of a crime of the anthrax attacks because he committed suicide beforehand, or at least the story goes. I'm not entirely sure how much was dramatized for television, but yeah, that seemed to be the attack stopped when they were at the door waiting to arrest him. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll move on to the next one because we've got quite a few. Do you want to give Kel Smiles' poem a read, please?
Catfishing. Fishing with your tackle and bait. Luring your catch. Use another's face. Fishing in lover's eyes. Desperate for whispers of sweet nothing lines. Search the web, leave no trace. Find a mark, throw out your cast, groom and cut. Take your time, the perfect catch of your design. Lovers of money refuses the net. Keep your rods steady in sight. Patiently wait until you set the hook. With luck, you can snag your prize. Leave the bank. Know what you took. In the crying eyes behind you, rebuke. No shame for breaking lives, a crook. And she's got in her author's note, a catfish isn't just a fish with whiskers. It's a term for a person who pretends to be someone else online. A catfish uses fake photos and sometimes a false persona to find friends or romantic partners on the internet. Well, learn something new.
Yeah.
There's actually
a show on MTV called Catfish. That's where I originally learned the term. And it's quite heartbreaking. And the thing is, most victims are too embarrassed to come forward, and so the cycle continues. And a fair few of them actually knew their victims in real life on this MTV program and were working to a hidden agenda, digging deeper and deeper into the mess. They were so ensconced in what they had created that there was no way out. And I think love scams can affect all people from all walks of life, but they have a tendency of affecting those with vulnerability. And for that, it is abhorrent. And I think Kel put it really well in the last two lines. In the crying eyes behind you, rebuke no shame for breaking lives, a crook. And I have to commend Kel Smiles for shining light on this practice. And may the scammers have their karmic revenge coming for them. And what were your thoughts, Captain?
Oh, I really like this. I really admire this piece. And I just, while you were commenting, I was thinking how each of the pieces that we've read so far this evening, this morning, whatever, are so different in their approach to the results of social media abuse, and this is another. This is an example. I have my almost a daughter, and I tell her, she says, "Well, why don't you try one of these dating apps?" I look at her. I said, "I love you more than life itself, but there's no fucking way I'm going to get on one of these dating apps. I'm old school.
Let me save you the trouble."
They're more trouble than they're worth. Oh yeah, well I like to test drive. You want to meet someone with common interests? Go do something where you'll meet people. You know, go to the gym, go to the library, take cooking classes. You know, join a book club. You just, you know, I've met several people who are in very happy relationships with people they met online, and to them I say, well done, and you are indeed fortunate. But I just, there's so much chicanery out there. I've been dying to use that word. So much chicanery out there that I would not have any confidence at all in anything I read out there on a dating app.
Look, you know what? In all seriousness, my analogy is this, and I say that as someone with experience, dating apps is like shoveling through shit to find the gold nuggets.
Kissing the frogs to find a prince. No, the concept to me is foreign. I don't think I wouldn't feel comfortable. I would feel that there would always be that particle of doubt, like she says, keep your rod steady, wait until you set the hook, you know.
If they're not prepared to get on the camera, if they're not prepared to meet in person, move on. That's my advice for people out there. Don't ever get caught in an online relationship for months without verifying that this person is real in real life. So, we'll move on to the next poem anyway. And I'm going to get you to read this one, actually, because I think you'll give it a good – you've got a good tone for it.
Moonwalking down aisle 14. I love the title already. Okay. June Johnson. Moonwalking down aisle 14. Dance in Walmart. Watch out. A woman checking Facebook almost hits you with her cart. Moonwalk naked through frozen foods. Why the hell not? End poem.
I thought that was a great read. It needed an American accent to go with the Walmart reference, I think. And those people with their phones stuck to their eyeballs, you need to watch out for them. And I think June captured that quite well with the moonwalk naked through frozen foods. I literally laughed out loud when I read this piece. And the thing is, amongst other things, I suffer from social anxiety. But it's so complexingly irrational because not only are most people too absorbed to notice anyone else, the other layer is their noses are glued to their phones, completely removed from reality. And a note to June, watch out for those ankles. So nicely penned. What were your thoughts, Captain?
It hit too close. It struck a little too close to home for me. A number of years back, I used to use our public transit system to I live outside of D.C., and I would work in D.C. I work for the federal government. So I would use our metro system, which is a really superb system. They were doing major overhauling a number of years ago and were they were confounding everyone's normal commute. And so I found myself going to a different platform and a different line that I was normally used to. And everybody was that way. So some of the lines were quite congested. I mean, it looked like the Japanese metro where they have people actually pushing you into the cars. I'm to the stage in my life where for good or bad, I've decided to abrogate any responsibility for anyone else's actions. I have enough to keep track of with myself without worrying about what someone else is going to do. And this takes on the guise of me when I'm walking in the metro. I learned something going abroad. Someone actually told me that someone wrote a book about this and did a study that Americans, when we walk through crowds, will walk around each other. And they said it's fascinating to watch Americans in a crowd because they'll navigate around one another and dodge one another, and whereas Europeans will just run into you. And after the first few days of my first trip to Europe, getting collided with, it was like being in the, it would be like an American mall at Christmas time. That's when they run into you regularly. I stay the hell out of my stuff. Christmas. Anyway, it ruined my Christmas spirit. So I'm to the point now where when I was going through the metro crowds, if someone ran into me or someone was walking toward me and not watching where they were going, I let them run into me, or I would stick my elbow out. I was not trying to dodge them, because I was tired of doing that. I was tired of compensating for their loss of situational awareness. Well, the point, I was on this platform, this young woman she's got a large bag under each arm. Looks like she's going away for the rest of her life. She's got her nose pressed to the screen of her phone. She's walking along, and you notice that they don't walk in a straight line. They'll drift to the right, or they'll drift to the left. And I see this woman starting to drift into my path. And so I thought, you know what? I'm not gonna make the effort to get out of her way. She's not paying attention, and I bumped her. Not hard, but I bumped her. Well, the next thing I know, I'm getting vituperations hurled at me from this young woman.
Oh, no.
Before I could even say anything, I didn't even get a chance to say excuse me or pardon me. She's hurling epithets at me. And so I looked at her and very calmly, in a very modulated tone, said, perhaps you shouldn't have been paying as much attention to your phone. Oh, it got uglier. She starts yelling louder, and she's hurling more unkind and unpleasant and unattractive remarks at me. And I said once again, in a very modulated tone, perhaps you shouldn't have been paying so much attention to your phone and more to where you were going. Well, the next thing I know, I've got this finger in my face, and she's got her index finger in my face, and trying to defuse the situation, I smiled, and very slowly, very slowly, went to push her hand away from my face. The next thing I know, I'm getting straight-armed on my back. And I'm almost off the metro platform. Yes, she went postal. She straight arms me. She shoved me hard. I've got prosthetic joints in my legs. I went straight back.
Yeah,
smacked my head on the tile platform. One of the people who caught me said I was within inches of going off the metro platform and onto the rails.
Whoa.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
I'm
like literally crazy.
Oh, I got assaulted.
Wow.
Well, the bystanders were as surprised as I was. I've got a couple of them.
Yeah, I would have been astounded. Like, you wouldn't have had time to react.
Seriously. And I pride myself on being prior military and being prepared. But I did not expect that kind of extreme physical reaction. So while all of them are picking me up off the ground, two of the men went after her, but it was rush hour. So, of course, the trains are in and out of there with great rapidity.
Yeah.
And she managed to jump on one and make her escape. A couple other guys went for the Metro Police. And wouldn't you know, it was inches away from one of the closed circuit TVs or cameras, and it didn't catch it.
Ah, that'd be right.
And so the Metro Police took my report. They took the eyewitness's report, and they said, honestly, she's gone. There's precious little we can do. I said, well, okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I was I was shaken by the whole incident.
Yeah.
It bothered me to the point where I made a counseling appointment, and I went to talk to my counselor, and he said, well, I described the whole incident to him, and he said, well, how do you feel about this? And I said, honestly, he said, are you angry? I said, no. I said, I've thought about this quite carefully. I said, and honestly, I feel pity for this woman, because anyone whose reaction to the situation was so extreme that her first instinct was to become physically violent with me, you've got to wonder what life has handed this woman. Make in such a way that her first, rather than try and talk out of the situation, she resorts to violence. So I said, honestly,
yeah.
I said, I'm not angry with her. Sorry for whatever she's experienced in her life that made her the end result of what she'd gone through. And I'm still not angry, but I never forgot that. That's the first time that the person who I was engaged with had that kind of violent reaction, and it really was unnerving. So I can understand who him. Bad enough someone almost hitting you with your cart, with their cart, but for someone to physically assault you simply because they bumped into you because they were looking at their phone.
That's just like a gross overreaction.
Okay. So anyway, moving right along now, we have Early Mornings by
OB Thompson. I'll give this one a read. So it's called Early Mornings. Awoken by the sounds of noisy neighbors displaying nothing but contempt for the perfect silence of a Sunday morning, I glance toward the dusty alarm clock sitting valiantly atop my rickety bedside table. It is too early to be awake. Collecting my phone from underneath my pillow, my eyes are blinded by its harsh light. Endlessly, I scroll through apps, catching up on the news I missed while I slept, liking posts on Instagram and swiping right on Tinder. Across the room, a loud bump startles me and I peel my eyes away from the screen as I survey the room. I see nothing to cause any alarm. Returning my eyes to my phone, they catch a glance at the clock in the top right-hand corner of the screen. 4 hours have passed. Where did the day go? And the author note, this is pretty much how my days start most days now. End of poem. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
Very relatable. I love to read, and I love learning things. I love information. And sometimes the odd stray bit of factoid will catch my eye, and the next thing I know, an hour will have passed. It's completely understandable. I keep my iPad and my phone in cradles on my next to my bed, as soon as I get up in the morning, I come back from the head. I sit down and I'll pull up the screen and see what's been going on. And fortunately, I have the police, the fuzzy little police, who will come in and start meowing at me very angrily. Knowing he's like, hey, you can do that. And I was like, so, you see?
There they are now. Right on cue.
He'll do that in the morning when he sees me reading. He's like, Mom, you can do that after you fed me, you know?
Yeah.
I have to tell him he's absolutely right. But this is, it is... It's so relatable, and I was having a conversation with a friend earlier this evening, and we were talking about pastimes and hobbies and what have you. And I told him the one phrase I really disliked intensely was the phrase killing time. Why
yes.
would you want to? Why? You know, it's
yes.
once it's gone, it's unrecoverable.
Yeah.
And
better to try and be
so,
productive. Next year, I'm going to try and do some volunteering for an organization for people sleeping rough, doing maybe meal prep once a week, once
oh,
a fortnight,
wow.
something like that. Yeah, just to try and get off the phone and get out amongst it a bit more. And, yeah, so we'll see how it goes in practice. It's all about the intention, at the start.
No, that's quite laudable. I myself, I'm a solitary creature. I'm quite happy in my own company. And so I've started studying languages. I'm buzzing my way through Italian right now. And I also have a real aptitude for it because I grew up as a concomitant bilingual. I grew up
mm-hmm.
with two languages, English and Polish. I've lost most of my Polish because anyone I could talk to is gone. My family's gone. So that once I finish the Italian, then I'm going to plow back into my Polish. And then once I'm through with the Polish, I'm going to go back to my Japanese. So I have an aptitude for languages. I will hear things and I'll remember them. I will remember the odd phrase from a film that I haven't seen in years, and the phrase
yeah.
will be in another language. Just that way. My ex-husband and I were going through college together. We were on a commissioning program that sent us to college full time. And being an engineering major, I didn't have to have a minor. But he was in data systems, IT now, and he had to study. And he had a French minor, and he was struggling with it. And I was helping him study, and I was picking up more French than he was, which was annoying. And I would come back to him when we'd have arguments, and I would say things like "il ne fait rien," which it means it doesn't make any difference. But the one that used to really piss him off was I would look at him and with the gesturing also cutting across my throat, I would say, écoute, la soleil, which is, listen, this conversation is over. he was so angry that I was picking up French and that he couldn't remember it. And I used to, the same thing to my mother, because my grandmother was Polish, and I learned it from her. And when my mother was an Olympic caliber warrior, oh my God, warrior, grain of sand into an entire beach. She was awful. And she would just drive my grandmother crazy. And my grandmother was, with the patience of Job, would eventually slam her rather ham-sized fist or her hand down on the kitchen table, and she would go, Helka, tobija, nisamoje zrobić, which is Polish for what's going to happen is going to happen. You can't do anything to change it. And I would do, my mother would start worrying, and when I became an adult, I'd be sitting at the table with her, I'd go, Matka, tobija, nisamoje zrobić. And she'd go, I'm so sorry your grandmother taught you that.
Well, I'll just bring it back to this poem just quickly, and then
yep.
we'll jump onto the next one. So I agree with you. In my pre-commenting, I actually said it was a very relatable word picture. And he sets up the entire poem. And when you look at the, it was written 3 months ago with the pandemic as the background, with at least I would imagine, like Australia, you've had rolling shutdowns forcing people to live vicariously through the pursuits of others online. And I dare say the scenario that is depicted is being lived out all over the globe. But as things have opened up, the voyeurism which has been depicted is replaced by action. And the funny thing is, it still comes back to social media because it's curated through the lens of Instagram or Facebook or even Tinder. So I thought it was a really clever piece.
Very, 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 and very...
Even just the neighbours, the reference to the neighbours, because everyone's on top of everyone at the moment being stuck at home, and that too was relatable. So... I think I've posted the next poem. I'm just going to double check and I'll get you to read it if I have. Yes, I have. The one by Nikki C.
Hey. No offense. I remember reading this one. We live in a time of tweets, not teats, where poetry seems incomplete. Poems no longer powerful tools, just quotes. To make some tweets look cool. End poem.
Isn't it great? I just think it conveys such a lot for such a short poem, you know? And I said to Nick, you see, I don't know if this was your intention, but the bite-sized nature of this poem could almost be a tweet in itself. And there's a bit of melancholy over what we have lost as a society as social connection has taken off with social media. And it's almost a vexing interpretation of where we are currently. And I enjoyed the tongue-in-cheek humor and the rhyming scheme as well. What were your thoughts, Captain?
Oh, I have very clever brevity. There's so much. It speaks volume. I mean, in the opening, we live in a time of tweets, not teats. That captures you right there. That is so clever, where poetry seems incomplete, poems no longer powerful tools, just quotes to make some tweets look cool. And that's true. I mean, I think that goes also back to taking things out of context. And people have such... and they have such an annoying habit of misquoting things.
Have a caller. I'm just going to double check. They've been on hold for a while. Okay. Area code 111.
Hi there.
You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Okay.
Who's speaking?
Hotep, H-O-T-E-P.
A new caller.
An Egyptian word, yes, a new caller.
Yay! Welcome.
Okay.
Thank you. How are you all?
Very
Blended.
Good. How are you?
I am...
Sorry for the wait. Did you have a poem on the board or anything, or...?
Yeah, I just wrote one as I was listening to you all. Some things.
Oh, great.
I'll just jump onto the board. Won't be a moment. Okay.
Nope.
Are you a member of Late Night Poets?
We lost them already?
Yeah, if you'd like to read it, you can.
It's called The Digital Planet. Digitized as we realize the truth, the older people and online youth, those that want the faster CPU, others the lies to be true, alerts for pollution created by the truth is twisted. As an insinuated lie, often critical thinking isn't critical. Often propaganda is very lyrical. History is his to write and to tweet, to act like love, but give humans defeat. creators of the disasters come around with the solution, but only if we give up our rights and make financial contributions. I didn't finish it yet, but I think that kind of says what
just
where
wrote
it's headed.
It?
That's
yeah,
impressive.
As I was listening to
That's
you all.
Very impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed. Sometimes when you get a new caller, you might get roses of red, violets of blue. I'm very impressed.
Oh, roses of red. Yeah, that one, you know, we've heard that one. And it,
yeah.
It has its place in the pantheon.
That's it. That's it.
Like this guy already.
Oh, man.
No,
that's
that
hilarious.
Was...
I honestly wasn't expecting something so high quality. I love the wordplay.
Gosh.
The rhyming scheme was on point. You had internal rhyme and also and what sounded to be a formal rhyming scheme employed in it. You should really look at – are you a member of allpoetry.com?
No. No, but I'll join.
You should really
gosh.
Have a look at joining, man. I think you'd do well.
Okay, I will.
That was
thank
a great
piece.
I mean,
thank you.
Do you write rap?
Well, I write in various styles and genres.
Yes, because it had a great rap quality. The cadence was very catchy. Your internal rhyme, like Neutron said, the internal rhyme, and your assonance was excellent.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can utilize our talents to make the poems that we write motivate other people to actually take action about the issues that we express in the poems. Like most of us. Yeah.
Neutron was right, though. If you don't belong to all poets, you really ought to consider it. I found that after joining it 2 years ago, it really helped to sharpen my writing. And you've got a whole wealth of excellent poets out there that we correspond with each other and exchange ideas, and it's really a great forum.
Yeah, I'm logging on now.
Excellent.
Thanks. I appreciate the positive vibe.
Great. Glad you called
in. Yeah, I just saw that another large iceberg is melting North Pole, so I thought, okay, more excitement for the human species coming. We better learn to swim. If we not to swim, better have the scuba gear. Yeah, the planet is actually the Titanic now, you know, and the captain has the musicians playing the violins and the mumble rap and the propaganda as the planet sinks. Yeah.
I'm dead for higher ground. Well, let's go ahead and read EJ's piece. You want me to take that one? Neutron? Oh, Neutron, are you on
mute? I'm on mute. I was on mute. I've been talking away. And, so it was all brilliant, of course. But if you want to read Emma Cool's poem, that would be great.
Yeah, because she likes polysyllabic terminology. So, cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
All hail mass mediocrity. Bottom-fed commiseration, merit in shadowed obscurity, zero contrasted separation. Cellular degeneration, ghoulish mind manipulation, poetic license resignation, on gold mules pyrite stipulation. Revel in whore's drunken glory, muted praise on scarlet deathbed, vomits mangled jabbering story, a bump to the figurative head. Not quite alive, not quite dead, pricked to bleed, alas, only seen. Chartreuse groom, coagulum instead, nourishing the narcissism machine. End poem.
Thank you, Captain. Our mystery caller, I didn't quite catch their name, has disappeared for the night. So I'd just like to say thank you for dropping by and dropping your poem. It was very relevant and very good. So with that, we'll move on to some comments for Emma. And I have to say, he's back.
Just
bring him back. Okay.
That his name was Hope.
So for Emma, I just have to say this was a scathing piece of poetry, particularly the last stanza, zombies living life for their next tweet or Instagram post. I suppose all I can say is we as a society provide an audience for the chartreuse groom, and as you put it so well, Emma, continue nourishing the narcissism machine. And she has a vivid use of vocabulary with this poem, and it was a pleasure to read, as always. And I think my favourite part was the last stanza, revel in whore's drunken glory, muted praise on scarlet deathbed, vomits, mangled, jabbering story, a bump to the figurative head. Now, it doesn't take much to go viral and fuel the fire of pseudo-celebrities, and I think that Emma has captured that really well in the poem. And area code 111. What was your name again? I just missed it. It cut out.
Oh, Hotep. H-O-T-E-P, like Imhotep.
Excellent. Hotep, did you want to provide a comment on the poem you just heard?
Well, I think the poem had a similar theme to what some of us are expressing, which is that in the modern age, technology is being utilized to create zombies and dumb us down, as opposed to technology being utilized to uplift the central nervous system and the individual tribe and society. And so, very good poem. Hopefully, again, we're not talking to the choir, proverbial choir, meaning a lot of people in poetry and other research analytical circles already know the deal. The thing is, reaching the so-called zombies, not to be negative, but I see many of them as mental zombies. And it's going to be that group that needs to be awakened, because I think they're the ones that are the majority that are more likely to be violent and aggressive, even though they have no leg to stand on in their logic. You know.
Excellent comment. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I enjoy Emma's writing. I'm proud of the fact that I actually recruited her. I found her on the new users page, and her piece was so clever. It had a lot of science in it. I commented on it and then started an exchange with her and got her to join Late Night Poets. And so I'm very glad that we've got another quality poet on board. She's got some great metaphors in here. The one that really caught my eye, on gold, a mule's pyrite stipulation. I don't know if you're familiar with mineralogy, but pyrite, iron pyrite, is also known colloquially as fool's gold.
That makes so much more sense now.
Iron pyrite is called fool's gold because it looks like gold, but it really isn't. It's also got a different a cellular matrix, a crystal matrix, as opposed to gold, is more of a lump. A pyrite has more of an angular surface to it, but it still has the shiny gold appearance. And the poetic license, resignation, ghoulish mind manipulation. This is a bump to the figurative head. I love that. That's her metaphor for the unwashed masses, not quite alive, not quite dead, nourishing the narcissism machine. Boy, isn't that the truth? And I think we had another piece earlier in the evening about people's egos getting stroked. So that definitely cleaves to that same attitude. I really enjoyed that piece.
And we'll move on to the next one. I'm going to try get three more in,
And the next one is Babbler's Peace, and it's called Rosco. And Hotep, there's an image that's attached to this poem, and it's of a person sitting in Rosco's chapel. I'll read the author note first because you don't have access to All Poetry Forum at the moment. The post had a black and white filter on it. I could feel Rosco turning in his grave as much of his work was based on layers and complexity of colours to give a spiritual or religious experience. So the poem goes, layers upon layers, pigment meticulously meted out, deep purple curated from rich reds and browns, indigos leached from leaves, staining coffee hands of women across broad oceans, spread thinly with a knife over bread canvas whose crumb is structured with intent. Black plum stretched and hung, kissing variegated cement backdrop, offset by rounded oak benches, teasing eyes to traverse dark landscapes, soak up the miles of an inch, and enveloped in sound and scent of dried oil, daunting monoliths punctuate off black walls of a dead man's chapel. End poem. And Hotep, would you like to comment first while it's fresh in your memory?
I think, again, the writer is as prolific a sense of words, a wordsmith, and inherent in the poem is, again, a message to try to uplift the minds. On a side note, what concerns me today is that unlike yesteryear when poets and artists actually were respected individuals with great concerns for their whoever is sponsoring them and their society, I think today between the music and the arts, we have pseudo creators who are spreading negatives. So were we 1,000 years ago in some of the ancient cultures, the messages I think would reach more of the masses, but today the masses have poets and artists who are pimping and promoting untruths. So, but we must continue doing what we do. Maybe we can light the fire and bring things back to how they should be. Thanks.
Excellent comment, Hotep. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I was reading her her author's note, and at the very bottom it says the Instagram. She narrates this wonderfully textured and layered, colorful description of this panel piece with deep purples and reds and browns and plums and blues, and at the very foot of this column of words, it says the Instagram post is in black and white. That's like quite, you know, it's just, what? It is so astonishing. The ignorance of it is just, it defies description. And here's someone who has taken something whose character and color and just the construction of it that was so carefully and lovingly compiled and composed, and then someone took and put a black and white picture of it out there, and you just that's where the artist probably wants to bitch slap the audience, because the beautiful artwork. It's like, here, come here, put your face in here, you know, as they smack them silly.
Yeah,
but it just I love the irony of it, though. I mean, you can, as you're reading this wonderfully textured description, this word painting that she's constructed, and then at the foundation of it, the Instagram post is in black and white. That's a WTF moment, if ever there was one. You know what I mean.
May May I add to what you just said, please?
Certainly.
No, I was just saying if I could add something. I think a
great thing about
literature is not necessarily that we will have to agree or, you know, think that the writer is correct in their direction, but that there's critical thinking to even have discussions, dialectics about the topic. For me personally, when I read poems or look at scripts, not that I agree with the conclusion or even some of the premises, but that there can be a great dialectic about the topic. But I think today what happens in the music industry and in movies and even in popular poems that sometimes get out there is that the people reading actually don't even have the thinking skills necessary to critique. So they follow as opposed to, you know, thinking deeply about the subject and having an open discussion about it. And I think there needs to be more education, because how do people read poems or understand poems if they aren't educated even on a basic level? And then taking that education and having critical thinking, because having the education without the critical thinking, you need, I think, both to have citizen and citizenry that are, you know, able to vote and think properly about poems. So I think there's work to do in America and the world. There's hope.
careful your erudition is
That's a good thing, Captain. Oh, gosh. Now, Hotep and Captain, I'm going to put the next poem up. And this is actually based on your first comment from the last one. So this is one by another of our hosts, Laurent Ivan, and it's called Driving the Chrome Slipstream. One. Driving the chrome slipstream down the middle of a city dream. Media light ain't arbitrary. It's a stop-and-go laser beam. I'm walking concrete consumer, a middle-of-the-road market exhumer. When I spend, they cheer. My last job was as a baby boomer. Now COVID's got the headlines, and history posts all the right signs, but lies run the gamut ridiculous. Social media treats truth as a punchline. Don't give me sprites and elves. Life's no fantasy made of witch spells. Give me the straight dope on reality. Keep the bullshit to yourselves. Two, I can't afford to not observe the parallel between today and George's Orwellian hell. We are like robots shuttling to and fro, victims with ears to an electronic shell. That ain't pounding surf you hear, but dogma raised loud to make you fear. So damn tired of the hate they spout. Been that way now for about 6 years. Mistrust of the other, change. They bend the laws, they disarrange. They attack the seat of democracy. Lies and slander, their guns in range. So now I'm a New Year's rapper, singing my tune, my rebel's patter. Songs of love, respect and protest defeat the lie. Let real truth matter. End poem. And Hotep, what did you think of the poem?
I thought the not focusing on the rhymes, my focus often is on the theme and the direction, whether or not the person has, you know, whatever vocabulary isn't important to me, and I agreed with most of it. My concern is that if we look at the history of democracy, that's why I said, for me, poetry is not about agreeing, but it's about having an intelligent discussion. Democracy itself, at the beginning in Greece, women could not vote, slaves could not vote. So inherently, democracy is flawed. So that's my only critique. But other than that, I loved it and appreciate it.
Excellent comment, Hotep. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
This is a departure for Laurent. He doesn't usually offer us a rap piece. But from a technical point of view, his rhythm and cadence are quite good. They're even, they're compelling, It's got a great flow to it. His message is so Laurent. The use of language and vocabulary he's got a superlative command of the English language and knows how to push a noun against a verb with quite agilely. He's got I can't afford not to observe the parallel between today and George Orwellian hell. We're like robots shuffling to and fro, victims with ears to an electronic shell. The metaphors in this are so clever. This is a very layered, very dense piece, very erudite. This is a cerebral piece. You've got to be, like Hotep says, you've got to be a thinking person to really be able to appreciate the message in this. So Laurent has given us a really superb piece of writing here for our contest.
I'm just going to finish final comment or final word on this poem. I thought it was both scathing and it had moments of brilliance, and I feel the anarchy rising in my veins and do hope that the rhetoric changes, but I don't think it will. I think the value of truth is forever changed and has been devalued. And it was both insightful and insightful as far as a poem goes, which is what you're after, really, is to try and get a reaction out of your reader. And we've got time for one more. I've got a SoundCloud. I'm just going to line that up now. And here we go.
One Electronic Sunset by Diane D. I gave my coffee cup back to the robot at the drive-thru. In the streets are walking foil mannequins stripped down to an iron-colored sphere in a lineup for the needle. The eye of the camera sees the invisible and photographs the image. Electronic subordination. The metal of the microphone hears what to me is silence. Plugged into a wedding on a 14-inch Packard screen, old man nodded at the portable people. War was a cause for prayer or metaphor in my dripping ink. Viral are sins and secrets underneath the glowing choppers. Even those in full metal jackets, TikTok. Electronic on hope streaming on every wired channel blog. The world shrank to the size of a blue time dashboard screen. Never get caught in a mechanical rainstorm. Push button that sunset and waterfalls on the YouTube download. End poem.
Great SoundCloud, Diane D. I think it's achingly accurate take on the way social media is treated almost like a religious cult with its following. We have as a society, unfortunately, down the Kool-Aid and are suffering as a result. It was a scathing takedown in ink. I think my favorite part was the world shrank to the size of a blue tie dashboard screen. Never get caught in a mechanical rainstorm. Push button that sunset and waterfalls on the YouTube download. Hotep, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the poem. For me, I think that technology itself, if we look at the invention of paper, papyrus, and now the internet, the technology generally isn't the problem. The problem is often how it is utilized by the masses. At one point, the Bibles were only for the priests and preachers, and then laypersons were allowed. So I think just like we use Blog Talk, we can utilize the technologies for the best if we can produce those technologies, of course, without polluting the planet and destroying us as we read the poem. So, but love the poem. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hotep. Great comment. And, Captain, I'm giving you final word for the poem tonight. Poem, rather.
Well, I agree. That was a great comment. I love your comments this evening, Hotep, have been quite provocative and evocative. You're right. There's there's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of educating to be done. And unfortunately, people only change when they want to. So therein lies the problem. I also like this very much. The first stanza is so satirical. I gave my coffee cup back to the robot at the drive-through in the streets of walking foiled mannequins stripped down to iron-colored fear in a lineup for the needle. The visual imagery in this is just stunning. Also the stanza that you cited, the world shrank to the size of a blue time dashboard screen, and how often we do our view now has become either the computer screen or the monitor we're watching on the wall or our iPad or heaven forfend, watching movies on our phone. And that's our portal. That's our to civilization and reality. And unfortunately, some people's filter for reality and for fantasy isn't engaged. So you've got a great piece here that's quite scathing in its indictment of social media.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great comment. Now we have about 2.5 minutes left, so I'm going to get Captain to plug our Christmas episode, and then we will bid adieu.
And we get views of what did they call it? Previews of coming attractions.
That's it.
We have a contest. The current contest we have out there now is called Santa Spinoff, and it's for our holiday program. And it is it's a cross-cultural look at Santa or the incarnation or depiction of Santa in 13 different cultures, from Kris Kringle to Father Christmas to Sinterklaas to our beloved Santa Claus. Father Christmas from the UK. It's an interesting look at the different ways that the embodiment of Christmas is personified. So that's the one right now, and I think in the next day or so I may open it up to pre-writes. But the one I'm envisioning after this is with the frenetic activities of the holidays and the way people have a tendency to get stressed and strung out celebrating, which can in itself be very stressful. I was thinking that our next contest might be my favorite Italian philosophy, dolce fa niente, which is Italian for how sweet to do nothing. And ask people to write about how they relax.
Great idea. I think that's fantastic for going into the new year with. Now, I'm just going to wrap up now because we have about 30 seconds. Firstly, Hotep, thank you for calling in. And you're more than welcome to call anytime. We'd be more than happy to have you. And thank you to my co-host, Captain B2, and it's a very illuminating conversation tonight all around. So
really?
Thank you,
yep.
And good night, everyone.
And congratulations on your haircut.
Thank you. See you later, Hotep. Bye, Captain.
Thank you. Bye.
Good day.